The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, it's Mark Striegel at Talking Metal. How are you guys? How are you folks? How are you girls? We're hanging out here. It is summer 2020, one of the weirdest years in my lifetime. We're getting through it, especially with the people on Patreon who warm my heart and actually support and produce this show. Literally, because they're financing the show. They give me great suggestions. So I really appreciate all their help. I'm talking about people like Metal Dan. Dan, you know, I mailed you a little care package and it got returned. So I remailed it. Hopefully it gets to you this time. But you're an awesome supporter. And I, you know, you've given us a ton of money through the years. You've been with us a long time. And I really appreciate everything you do for us, Metal Dan. Jeremy Weltman. Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy, I want you to check and make sure you're not donating twice, because on the list, you're on there twice. So I don't want you to be getting charged two times. So check that out. Maybe make sure you're not getting charged twice. Chris Riley, thank you. Johan Enderstrom, Steven Rodriguez, Tommy Anderson, Adam Marr, Gregory, Kenny McCrimmon, Leo from Alaska, Brad Dahl, Richard Langridge, Dan Gerwan, Patrick Schwartzman, Jerry from Long Island, Sam Soupy, Drake, Matt Carroll, Joe Ryan, Jason Seth, Steven Saylor, Ron Keel, Jean-Francois Blah, Anthony Mackey, James Bennett, David Gray, Mr. David Gray, that is, Fred Rutz, Michael Street, Jay Vaninsky, Mike Jones, Steve Hoker, John Bovary. You guys rock. You guys are the true talking metalheads. Let's do this.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and anything else we feel like. We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started. Here's an old classic that sounds just as good today as it did when we were kids.
Striegel, we are recording this on the 4th of July weekend here. I hope everyone had a happy 4th of July. Yeah, man, it's an all-German episode. 4th of July, an American holiday. But today we are celebrating Germany with Klaus Meine of the Scorpions, a first-time guest here on Talking Metal. I can't believe we have Klaus. What an honor. Truly, truly one of the greats. And returning to the show for his, like, probably, like, 6th or 7th time, Udo Dirkschneider and his son, Sven. Sven's been on once before when Emily did the interview with Udo and Sven in New York City. I think Fitty was with him at that time. But now we are just talking with them from, it was like a Skype call. I actually don't know where, if they were in Germany or Spain. I'm not sure. But anyways, three German dudes, one podcast. I thought I was German. You know, Striegel is my last name, a very German name. And then I did one of those DNA tests. I'm like, oh, it's going to come back like, you know, 75% German, at least 50% German. Because two of my grandparents are like, you know, like one is totally German. One was half Irish, half German, and then I had some English, some Scottish, a little bit of Irish in there. But the DNA test, it comes back, and it's like the majority of my DNA is Irish, which is, I guess, is just how it works. So apparently I inherited a lot of Irish from my my Grandpa Striegel, who's, let's see, his mother was Irish. So there you go. There you go. Yeah, so, but anyways... I what do you say? I digress or whatever it is. I don't know. I hear people say that and I don't even know what they're talking about. But I digress. Digress. Anyways, three Germans, one podcast. Klaus Meine, Udo Dirkschneider, Sven Dirkschneider here on the podcast. What an honor. First time ever talking to Klaus. And I have to admit, I was nervous, but he was the coolest dude ever. So let's just do this right now. We heard the zoo coming into the podcast. This is my interview with Klaus Meine of Scorpions here on Talking Metal. Hey, it's Mark Striegel of the Talking Metal Podcast, and what an honor to join us here on the show from Scorpions, Klaus Meine. How are you, Klaus?
Very good. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing well, all considering. Obviously, we have been in lockdown here in New Jersey, and I know a lot of parts of the world have been greatly affected by the COVID-19 crisis. How are you doing?
Yeah. Well, actually, we started this year touring in Australia and Southeast Asia, and when we came back in early March, then things with the corona crisis was really starting with every other week getting really bad, you know. So we were also in this lockdown situation, but we switched it into, like, creative mode, you know.
Right.
Tried to make the best out of it, and since we wanted to go to the studio anyway, we spent some time, like everybody in his own studio, writing new songs, writing lyrics and all that stuff. And along the way, I wrote a little song called Sign of Hope to send a little message out to our fan community and beyond out there, you know, just something uplifting and giving a little sign of hope to our fans, to our people, you know. And other than that, we're in the studio, and we just spent a couple of weeks here in Hanover, in Germany, working on our new album, lots of hard rocking stuff, together with our producer Greg Fiddleman, who has been joining us every day via Zoom from Los Angeles. So when it was breakfast time in LA, you know, it was dinner time with the Scorpions, but it worked out very good, and we made great progress with the new songs and with the album, you know. But
awesome.
Other than that, you know, it's a scary situation with the COVID-19 virus, and it's everybody. We hope so much we can go back to normal. So this is so hard for everybody, you know, and also for the whole culture community. You know, it's really hard, and to be locked away from our audience.
I hear you. You know, I was going to say the one of the few good things that have come out of this whole thing is that new song you gave us. And as a fan of the band and of you, Sign of Hope was just what we needed. And I appreciate you guys taking the time to release that. It is a great song.
Yeah, you know, since we were working on the new album, but like you can imagine, it's all delayed until next year. And so I think we never did this before like this, you know. This song was there, and it just reflected the whole situation we were going through. And so I thought it would be a nice idea just to put it out on our social medias, you know, and let's see what happens, you know. And then, of course, through Universal Music, we picked it up and put it on Spotify and all those websites. And so everybody can get to it now, and through streams and downloads, and the proceeds will be donated to Music Cares, you know. So we want to give something back to the listeners, but the most important thing is to send out, like, the message of hope that this will be over hopefully soon, and there will be better times around the corner.
Right on, right on. And you mentioned new music that you're working on, and we're reading, as you just said, that it's some real hard rocking stuff. You guys are really kind of maybe going back to the sound that you had in the late 70s and 80s. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, that's looking for a producer. When we hooked up with Greg Fiddleman, he used to work with Metallica and Slipknot. You know, so we're right on our way, bringing the old vibe, you know, from albums like Blackout, Love It First Thing, or even Love Drive. You know, we try to focus on those albums and on this attitude, you know. And if we get there, who knows? You know, it's so many years later, but it's the spirit and it's the whole vibe around this album. To start with, it's crazy enough to say, let's make a new record, you know?
Right.
It's like, it's quite a challenge after all these years, and go again and again, while most of other artists, they say, okay, we put out like a couple songs like the way we did it with Sign of Hope, that's good enough. But we said, no, we go the old-fashioned way, you know, and make a whole new album. And this time the focus is on the harder songs, like Sign of Hope is like a real short, sweet and nice ballad, you know, just reflecting this moment in time. But the album will be more on the harder edge, and thankfully we started writing last year already, and we picked it up after the tour this year, and there's lots and lots of material. Fortunately, you know, and I tell you, it's such a privilege and it's a blessing in this very, very difficult situation we all go through with the coronavirus. It's a blessing, you know, we can do something, we go into the studio, work on new songs, new material, and really take a deep dive into the creative world, you know, and create something new. It's wonderful.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And, you know, speaking of classic Scorpions albums and sounds, Animal Magnetism, turning 40 this year, and of course one of the greatest songs of all time on that record, The Zoo. Any memories of that song first coming together 40 years later? Can you share any memories on that?
Of course, of course. I mean, it's amazing. After all these years, it's such a classic, became such a classic song. It's about when we arrived in America in 79. We played the first show with Dan Nugent, AC/DC, Journey, Thin Lizzy, you know, Aerosmith, at Cleveland, the World Series of Rock, the Municipal Stadium, you know. But when we came into the U.S., we stayed for a night or two in New York City, and our managers, David Krebs, Peter Mensch, you know, at the time, they said, come on, guys, we take you out for a walk. We go to the zoo, baby. we go to the zoo. No, it turned out we just went out for a little walk over 42nd Street, New York City, and they used to call it like the zoo, you know. And this was the inspiration to write the song, you know, about cruising 42nd Street, you know.
Yeah, and 42nd Street back in those times was a lot different than it is today. Last time I saw you guys was at Madison Square Garden in New York City, and always so great to get you guys playing in the New York area. But that was a real special night. I think that was probably 2-3 years ago. Any memories of playing that show at the Garden?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we used to play the Garden back in the 80s, and still Madison Square Garden is such a iconic venue, you know, and you play in the heart of Manhattan, in the heart of the Big Apple, you know, and you feel you are on top of the world. And when we played it back in the 80s, I remember Matthias and me, we had our parents coming in from Germany to watch the boys playing by the Square Garden, you know. We want to share. We were so proud, and we felt like we're on top of the world with an amazing new album, Love at First Sing, back then, you know. And to play the Garden, it was just fantastic. And to come back there so many years later, you can imagine, it means a lot, you know. And it was a great crowd, and we hope we come back when this new album will be out. We come back with a whole new show, and hopefully play lots of new songs from the new album. And then, of course, we pick up the tour, and in next year, we were booked in Las Vegas at Planet Hollywood for a residency in July, which is right around the corner now. And unfortunately, it was postponed to next year. You know, so we will do that next year. But it's not only Vegas; we want to do like a full tour across the United States, and then, of course, hopefully, we play the Garden again.
Right on. I want to take you back 30 years ago. I'm an enormous Roger Waters fan, as well as Scorpions. And seeing you guys do the Wall with Roger Waters almost right around 30 years ago was such an incredible moment. Bryan Adams, Joni Mitchell, Sinead O'Connor, Scorpions. I mean, what a diverse group of people on that bill. Any memories of playing that with Roger Waters you could share?
Of course, I mean, it really was an honor to be part of that show, right on No Man's Land, right on the border, like East West Berlin, you know. And it was such an amazing place to especially for a German band. And I remember we were the first band that had to go out there to kick off the show with In the Flesh, the Pink Floyd song In the Flesh, and we were sitting in a huge white stretch limo backstage, and we were like on time code, and the driver couldn't start the car, you know. We were supposed to, wow, to get out there right now. The time code was clicking down, and we were sitting in this car backstage, and the car wouldn't drive, you know.
And oh, man.
Fortunately, we arrived like really like spot on, very last minute, and we started the song, played through the whole song, and it was fantastic. It was really like a very, very special moment. And then after the last like wham on the guitars, after the last chord on the guitars, when we were about to walk off stage and for the next act to follow, which was, I think it was Ute Lemper, a German artist, and the whole sound system went, you know, it was like boom, it was gone.
Wow.
So when it was so crazy to get up there, but it was even worse, you know, and in the end, we were so lucky because we could play our song. We left the stage, but after then, it was completely chaos. And I think Roger Waters, they had to work very hard to manage that very, very strange, unusual situation. And they re-recorded Ute Lemper's song a little later, I guess, later in the night. And if you watch the DVD today, it's all in the right place. But we were very lucky, you know, and it was a very special gig for us. We're proud to be part of it.
Absolutely. It was definitely on the DVD. It looks great and sounds great. You've had so many opening acts through the years. You mentioned playing Madison Square Garden back in the 80s. I think I want to say Bon Jovi opened that show. And then more recently, when I saw you at the Garden, it was Megadeth, I believe. So many opening acts through the years. What ones really stand out as some of your favorite openers for Scorpions?
I mean, like Bon Jovi was very special. You know, they were a very young band. They used to play clubs when we picked them up. I remember we were in Paris listening to some tapes about making the decision who could be the support act on this upcoming tour in the U.S. And we were listening to a couple of artists, and Bon Jovi, they had this hit Runaway, right? And we thought that sounds pretty cool. And so we made the decision for Bon Jovi. And they were on the whole tour with us, including the Garden.
Right.
And we even took them with us to Japan for the first time, you know. And what a great band, and what an amazing career they made, you know. And today it's amazing. I mean, Bon Jovi, they wrote so many great songs and very talented guys, you know. And Johnny, yeah, it's cool, you know. We're still here and then, you know, we cross paths. When they come here in Germany, last time in Munich, we were not even there, you know, but I saw it on YouTube. They played Rock You Like a Hurricane for the crowd here in Germany.
Oh, cool.
You know, and so it's pretty cool, and they're real nice guys. And we just played in Rio last October, Rock in Rio, and but unfortunately we missed them, and we played, they played maybe Tuesday, and we played Wednesday or something like that, you know. Yeah, great band. It's great that we had over the years so many great opening acts and special guests with us, you know. And but when we talk about something very special, then maybe I think Aerosmith.
Oh, wow.
They were our support band in, I think, Compton Terrace in Phoenix, Arizona. But it was just a kind of a one-off kind of support band slot for them, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, but what a great show and what a great band, you know. We love them as well from the heart. I mean, after all these years, what can I say? It's great for a German band that we became part in throughout the 80s, we became part of the international family of rock, you know, and so many, we share so many great memories with all those amazing bands from Van Halen to to Ozzy and all those great bands, you know, Bon Jovi and up to Megadeth, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Klaus, I know we don't have much time left, but my final question, I just wanted to ask you, when you're not making music, because we know you as a guy who's writing great songs and giving us such great music and concerts and stuff, but when you're not doing music, do you have hobbies or passions that keep you busy, and what are they?
I used to play tennis, but unfortunately that's a long time ago, you know.
Okay.
And since we're not getting any younger, I must admit, tennis became something I really miss. But being on the road for most of the time every other year, where we play like between 50 and 70 shows all around the globe, then I prefer to focus on the shows and to be able to run around and go crazy on stage instead of on the tennis court, where it's quite dangerous, you know, these days, and to hurt yourself. And I don't want to go through this kind of pain, you know, so I prefer to start to keep focusing on the tour and on the road. And I'm glad everything is good, we're healthy. We take this lockdown also to slow down in your life a little bit, you
right.
know, and coming down, not to travel so much, not flying every other day, being on airplanes, playing shows. So it has a positive side as well. You can reflect your life, and the good thing is we make a new album. You
Absolutely.
Know, this is the best thing. And we can even working here in Hanover, where we should be in Los Angeles. The plan was to be in L.A. in May and June, and then play Vegas, the residency in Planet Hollywood, you know. So it's all the whole plan. We had to go with plan B, and plan
right.
B is to work in Hanover in a studio, but the good time is we can spend a little more time with our families, which
sure.
is great.
Awesome. Well, it's been an honor speaking with you, sir, and we cannot wait to get you back here in the States. And wow, a new record with some classic hard rock and heavy metal sounds. Sounds like it's on the way from Scorpions. Best of luck with that, and please keep in touch.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mark. All right, see you out there.
Okay, take care, sir.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. She wants all over me. I'm raining. Don't Believe Her off the 1990 album Crazy World. Great stuff. 30 years ago, that album. Wow. Craziness. I'm going to do a little mobile. I got the mobile unit hooked up right now because before we play the UDO interview with Udo and Sven, I just wanted to come upstairs and grab Emily because, let's see, I think the last time Udo was on the show, I interviewed him, but the time before that, it was Udo and Sven in New York, and Emily interviewed him. I'm up in the kitchen now, so I just wanted to quickly grab her. She's fixing a salad for us. Amazing. She's now dancing in the kitchen. How's that Cosmo I made you?
Delish. Why do you think I'm dancing?
So I just wanted to say that I thought you were going to bust in on the Udo and Sven interview, but you couldn't. You were stuck at work, and I know those guys love you, so sorry you couldn't say hello to them. But next time.
I hope so, because I adore them. And, you know, I've been so excited to hear their message lately in regards to everything going on in the world, in regards to racism and equality. They've got the right message, and I love them more than ever.
This is three Germans, one episode, by the way. Klaus, Udo, and Sven, all on one episode.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. But that was Rudolph who said that. I've told that story before. Emily showed up at the Scorpions concert in like latex pants or something that were beyond tight, Rudolph of the Scorpions got his picture with Emily. It was the opposite. We got our picture with the Scorpions. But as we were walking away, he was pointing at Emily, telling the rest of the men, "That's what I'm talking about!" Anyways, let's get into an interview right now. I'm actually out on the patio now, where Emily is grilling our chicken for our salad that she's making. And I guess the boys are doing pizza. She's doing homemade pizza. Let's get into the interview right now with Udo Dirkschneider, Sven Dirkschneider, here on Talking Metal. I conducted this via Skype a week or so ago. Let's first hit a song. This is the new UDO song with an orchestra playing with them. Check this out. It's very cool. We Are One. If you are turning on the TV screen, and all you see is death, deep and mean, you have to hide away from what you see. We'll be right back.
Mark Striegel of Talking Metal and a guy we've had on the podcast many times before, Udo Dirkschneider from UDO, and of course, on the drums in UDO, we have Sven Dirkschneider, Udo's son, and we have them both here today. Udo, I know we've spoken with you many times. Sven, I'm not sure I've ever spoken with you, and I know my wife, Emily, interviewed you guys in New York a year or two ago when you were here, but it's great to talk with you both.
Yeah, that's correct. Hello.
Hello.
So, lot going on in the world and a lot going on with UDO. A great new, I guess, lockdown quarantine style video for one of my favorite songs off of Steel Factory, One Heart, One Soul, and real timely lyrics. I mean, it was almost when you wrote that a while back, you probably didn't see what was about to go on in the world, and especially here in the States. You want to talk a little bit about why that song seems so timely now?
I mean, of course, we didn't expect to have a song which could fit that perfectly in a time what we are facing right now. And I think all band members of us got hit very hard by all this stuff, terrible stuff going on in the States. And I mean, we thought, you know, we should pay our share, and how can we do that in times like these? Luckily, we have the opportunities to record at home and you know, have talented guys who can edit video and stuff like that.
Right.
So we thought, you know, let's do it and put out a clear statement what we think about what's going on right now. And I think the reaction to this video is crazy. We didn't expect that, and we were very overwhelmed by the reactions of the fans. And it was heart touching and great. So I think, yeah, we hit it on the sweet spot, if you want to call it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's Emily was talking to me, and we were like, you know, there's a lot of metal bands out there and hard rock bands. They've kind of just kept quiet on all this, but you guys really came out, took a stand, issued a statement, re-released the song in this quarantine style video. Do you worry about maybe ticking off some of your fan base, or doesn't that matter? Is it just an important message to you that needs to be put out there?
I mean, you know, to be very honest and to be very clear, anybody who supports racist interaction, doesn't matter where you come from on this world, can fuck right off. You know, I don't need this in my life. And that's my clear statement to it. And I don't care if I piss somebody off with a statement like that. I'm clearly against this kind of parties. It doesn't matter if it's left or right, you know, any radical bullshit, you know, I don't want that, and I don't support that. So I don't care in the end.
Right on.
That's the same what I have to say to this, you know. So I mean, it's like I wish that more people in music business doing more like this, you know. But yeah, they are right. They were really, really quiet, you know. But okay, it's up to them. But we did our thing, and I mean, we always like when we wrote lyrics for also UDO albums, you know, we did social stuff. We was already against white parties and a lot of things, you know, what was going wrong in this world. But this time now with this new album that we did with the orchestra, it's like really also all the lyrics are really like a message, you know, what's going wrong at the moment in the world, you know, about the climate. What we did with the One Heart, One Soul album, it's like a future. We have a big thing going on here in Europe with Friday for Future, with young people making demonstrations, you know, please. Leave the world like it is, you know, and don't destroy the whole world. It's like, that was a very important message for this album. So, but at the moment, I think we are really right on the spot with right. all this stuff, you know. We didn't know that when we was wrote the lyrics for this album, you know, but So, and I think hopefully the message, the people start thinking about the lot of things, you know, and we have only one planet and we are one, I think. It's in a way the same message like one heart, one soul. Yeah. We are one, and it doesn't matter if you are white, black, yellow, red, or whatever, what kind of color. I mean, we have to live together on this planet, you know, and not like fighting to each other or whatever is going on. We have to take care of our planet, and that's the whole message on this album.
Right on. And you're talking about the new UDO record, We Are One, which will be out July 17th. And
yes.
Again, yeah, very topical album with some topics that probably, you know, I almost don't consider stuff like global warming and stuff political, but a lot of people do. And again, props to you guys for not being able or not being scared to speak up, because we hear a lot of metal bands that, again, just want to remain quiet about that. And again, orchestra on every song on the record.
Yes. I mean it's also like I think it's a little bit wrong to say this is a UDO album, you know. This is for me like more a project, you know. I mean, we did stuff on this album what we definitely not putting on on a UDO album, you know. There's a lot of we had a lot of freeness to do things we maybe never can do on UDO album, you know, and that was
right.
A really open thing, freeness, and so I mean, it's like a concept album, you know, lyric wise, and the whole album, like we have also a female singer on this, like she was singing alone, the name is Manuela Markovic. And she is she was doing already a lot of stuff with the orchestra. So, and my wish was to have a duet on this album that I did with her on Neon Diamond. And yeah, she is a really good female singer. And also, there is one song is written for her, especially with the orchestra. It's like a blindfold. And I mean, also the orchestra has a freeness to have some. I don't know, three instrumental stuff, you know. Of course, there's some guitar stuff underneath, but for them was also a new challenge to do something like this. It's the same
right.
for us, you know, that we can do something like what I said.
So there's a little more freedom and areas to experiment with this record, but we're still calling it UDO, right? It's We Are One by UDO.
I mean, there's still enough UDO roots in the music that I think it's enough that we can still call it UDO, and it's the UDO band. So for sure, this is, of course, officially a UDO album, but we like to see it as a project of the UDO band with a military orchestra. And therefore, you know, it's just a completely new world which opened up for us. And we already had this feeling when we played the first gig with them in 2015. And we thought, okay, that's cool. You know, if you put an orchestra on the already existing UDO songs, but imagine writing new songs, especially written for the orchestra and the band together, that would be awesome. And then we just got in touch with them, and they got in touch with us, because it was an idea from both sides. And it worked out great. It was a great time of writing songs and experimenting of what we can do. And I think they also had new limits for them, you know, where they could go as an orchestra, because they wouldn't do something like that usually. And,
right.
So,
and there's also some, I guess I'd call them old friends of yours, Udo, back in the fold for some of this record. Can you tell us who from Accept joins you on this record and what they're doing on the record?
Yeah, I mean, Stefan Kaufmann, for example, he was already planned for this album. So he was helping us out on a guitar when we did the last show together with the orchestra. And then he said, oh, if there's something happened, and he heard that we were planning an album, he said, I have also some ideas. I really would love to work also on this album. So that was from the beginning on clear. And with Peter, I mean, that's a little bit funny. I mean, I had to go to the studio, do some demo vocals in Stefan Kaufmann's studio. And I came in there, but Stefan didn't told me that. And then they were sending Peter Borges.
Wow.
And I was like, how can I explain this? For me, I was not talking for Peter for 15 years, you know, and I didn't see him. I never had any, let's say this way, before we, I don't want to go deeper with this. I never had any problems with Peter, you know. That was like we saw yesterday, you know. And then he said that he was working with Stefan on some songs for him. He's doing many projects after he left Accept. Then he said, I heard you're doing an interesting thing together with an orchestra. Stefan was playing me some stuff, and it's very interesting. I would love to be a part of it. And I said, Peter, why not? Come on, if you have some ideas, do it. And Stefan and Peter, they came up with very interesting stuff. So that was the work of them for the album, you know, coming up with good ideas.
Right on. Cool. And you have far more members of Accept on this record than the actual Accept now having the band. I was just thinking about that, which is kind of crazy.
I don't want to say anything about this.
Yeah. They're down to one member, I think, Accept. But anyways, let's stick with the new record here. We Are One, again, by UDO. One of the topics I read, and correct me if I'm wrong, but is there a song or lyrics about 30 years of a united Germany?
Oh, yeah, that is Rubber Town. I mean, this song is the lyrics are about, you know, the demonstration, what was going on, to that they had enough of the system of the East Germany. But on top, you know, it's always like the auto meaning that you can make a peaceful revolution if you want, you know.
Which is totally fitting now again, you know, because with all the rioting and looting and burning things, you know, going on in the States. And we had this last weekend, I think, here in Germany too, for the first time ever since ages, I think. Stop that bullshit, you know. You can stand up, you know, and say what you think, but you don't need to burn things, and you don't need to tear apart stores from people who build it up for years to make a living out of it, and just stop that, you know. It worked back in the day, so it will work again, you know.
Absolutely.
That's the thing also, you know, that shows that you can do something peaceful, you know, and not like destroying stuff, but what sense has already. So, with a lot of lyrics that we did for this album, they was written before Corona came and all that stuff, you know. So, but now, I mean, we are at the moment, how you say this in English, right on the point or whatever. That is very,
Right on.
Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it happened now, you know. This is like, wow, we didn't know that, you know. So, but it's happened at the moment. And, it's... hopefully the people get the message and, you know, start thinking about a lot of things.
Right on. Yeah, and I read you mentioned the environment and refugees are lyrical topics on the new record. We are talking about We Are One, the new UDO record done with an orchestra. And tell me again, who is the orchestra that you do this with?
That's the concert band of the German Armed Forces.
Right. And, okay. German Armed Forces. Very cool.
That's the main orchestra representing Germany. You know, worldwide they play. All over the world, and in Germany, of course. And they do all the official, stuff in Berlin when presidents come to visit Germany and stuff like that.
Right on. And I guess last time we saw you guys in the States was with. Not with UDO, it was with Dirk Schneider. And is that officially retired? We're never going to see you guys out under the Dirk Schneider banner doing Accept songs again.
That was planned to come to America with UDO.
Yes.
And in November, December. There was a 6-week tour going on in America, but we had to cancel this, you know.
Right.
But I will tell you the truth. All the promoters and all the people said, please, please, can you maybe please play two or three accept songs also with UDO?
Right.
And I said, yeah, I mean, for example, to do a show in America, a gig in America, without playing Ball to the Wall is nearly impossible.
Right. So there's a demand from the promoters that you add a few accept songs.
Yeah, a big wish, you know, that said, please, 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 maybe only this song, you know, this is very important. So we said, yeah, come on. I mean, normally in Europe, definitely we don't play any, with UDO, we don't play any accept songs, you know. I mean, we have a good thing. If we want, we can say, okay, we come under Dirkschneider again and we play only accept songs, you know. So that's, it's just in, how you say it, in a case.
Yeah. Right.
And we can open that case and say, okay, here we go again.
Right on. Right on. And speaking of accept songs, Udo, 35-year anniversary this year of Metal Heart. Any brief memories you could share about making that record, producing that record, or writing that record? Any memories of that?
Any memories? I mean, I would say I was learning a lot about harmony vocals, and there is a little bit more, let's say, after Balls, Metal Heart was a little bit more commercial for songs like Screaming for Love Bite, for example, you know. It's getting, in our days now, you would say it's a pop rock song, in a way. And yeah, that was also a very, very interesting album to do, you know. I was learning a lot from Dieter Dirks, you know. He was the producer for this album. And sometimes he was calling me Klaus, but I'm not Klaus. I love Klaus. But I told him, hey, Dieter, I'm not Klaus. Oh, yeah, sorry. And that was one thing really happens, you know, sometimes. Yeah, but I mean, I learned a lot, and it was a very interesting album, especially, you know, it was definitely not planned to have this classical thing in the song Metal Heart, you know, the Elise. So it came just, what just happened, you know?
Right.
The proof was playing something, and then it did, and I said, oh, wait, why we not put this in the song, you know? It's the same what we did in a way with Fast as a Shark in the beginning with Heidi Adore, the German folk song, you know? So it was also, sometimes things that happened, it was not planned, you know?
Yes.
No, it was definitely also a very important album for me, Metal Heart.
It's my favorite Accept record. I mean, I love, you know, Balls to the Wall and Restless and Wild. But for me, at that age, I was probably like 15 when that came out. That album was a real big deal to me, and just loved it. Even the commercial elements. I was all in on that. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, really good songs on that.
Excellent songs. All right, guys. Well, I really appreciate you taking some time to speak with us here on Talking Metal today. And we want UDO or Dirkschneider or whatever you want to bring us back here in the States. It would be great to see you guys again in the New York area. I think we saw you at Irving Plaza last time, and then down at the Stone Pony, I think, too. We were down at those gigs. Do you think UDO will be back here in 2021?
I mean, if getting everything normal, then definitely, then we come. The whole tour of what's planned is coming then next year, 21, definitely.
Okay, well, we can't wait. Emily and I will be there. Emily was going to try to stop in and say hi, but she's on a work meeting right now, so she can't do that. But she definitely sends her love, and you guys stay safe, and we can't wait for the new record. We Are One by UDO, out July 17th. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Thank you very much. Take care.
Keep in touch. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Don't try to bring it down on me. Our world is cruel, so inhuman. You cannot put the blame on me. I like
chains and we are free. No, we need the stupid talking. Representing you and me. Corrupted minds and twisted walking. From this two-faced wannabe.
Soul, that is the studio version of that, not the quarantine version. I loved that song when it came out. It has a great message, obviously. The video is very powerful. I remember seeing the video. I think I spoke to Udo about that the last time I interviewed him. Anyways, what an honor. What, man, Udo Dirkschneider and Klaus Meine on the same podcast. Unreal. Wow, first time Klaus Meine interview. I've never spoken with him before. I think, who do we interview? We did Mickey D, I think, last time we were offered Scorpions. But yeah, hope the Scorpions are going to come back around in 2021 for a new tour of the States. It sounds like that's happening. Fingers crossed. And let's do this. Let's end it with something else. I'm trying to think of what to play. How about a sneak peek of the next podcast with another first-time guest, Dee Snider. Unreal, right? God, Dee Snider, spoke with him for the first time. I've actually spoken with him in person before when I worked at MTV back in the 90s. I actually hung out with him for a little bit, and we interviewed him. I didn't actually do the interview, but I was working the shoot, and he was very cool. Got to hang with him for a while and talk with him back then. But we've been trying to get him on Talking Metal literally since 2005 when we started this thing, and it's he's been tough, man. So big thanks to John Freeman, who is bringing Dee Snider to the Talking Metal podcast. The very next episode, guys. This is The Kids Are Back by Twisted Sister, and that'll do it for today.